Naham dipen yajitate tipayanakasya jivata netra bhukti rabusokratam strat anta strajak shakhajakhe sadasanki karnam nirachada pita digitata divinna kagrat. My Lord, who are never conquered by anyone, I am certainly not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue, your eyes bright like the sun, or your frowning eyebrows. I do not fear your sharp pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, your mane soaked with blood, or your high, wedge-like ears. Nor do I fear your tumultuous roaring, which makes elephants flee to distant places, or your nails, which are meant to kill your enemies. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Nrsimhadev's fierce appearance was certainly most dangerous for the non-devotees. But for Prahlad Maharaj, such a fearful appearance was not at all disturbing. The lion is very fearsome for other animals, but its cubs are not at all afraid of the lion. The water of the sea is certainly dreadful for all living entities on the land. But within the sea, even the small fish is unafraid. Why? Because the small fish has taken shelter of the big ocean. It is said that although great elephants are taken away by the flooding waters of the river, the small fish swim opposite current. Therefore, although the Lord sometimes assumes a fierce appearance to kill the duspratis, the devotees worship Him. Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hari. The devotees always takes pleasure in worshiping the Lord and glorifying the Lord in any form, either pleasing or fierce. My Lord, you are never conquered by anyone. I am certainly not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue, your eyes bright like the sun, or your frowning eyebrow. I do not fear your sharp, pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, your mane soaked with blood, or your high wedge-like ears, nor do I fear your tumultuous roaring, which makes elephants flee to distant places, or your nails, which are meant to kill your enemies. We are reading from the prayers of Srila Prahlad Maharaj that he is offering to Lord Nrsimhadev. Prahlad Maharaj was requested by Lord Brahma to somehow try to appease the anger of Lord Narasimhadev. The Lord is unlimitedly pleased with one who pleases his devotee. And the Lord is unlimitedly angry with a person who offends his devotee. We are reading about the intense anger of Lord Narasimhadev. How much ferocious he was that Hiranyakashipu tried to cause so much disturbance to Prahlad's life. We should understand that to the extent Narasimhadev or Krishna is angry when one offends his devotee, to that same degree, Krishna is very pleased and happy when we satisfy his devotion. Do not think that it is only one-sided. The Lord only takes such intense, extreme forms of anger when his devotee is offended. But he is as intensely pleased when we satisfy his devotion. So which form of the Lord do we want to see? We want to see both, as long as we're not the ones offending the devotees. We love to see Lord Narasimhadev appearing to liberate the demons and to give glorification to the devotee. Actually, Lord Narasimhadev really appeared in this form just to attract everyone's hearts and to glorify Vitul Prahlad, who was so utterly fearless. What a gigantic personality Brahma is. Shiva, Indra. Try to imagine the farthest reaches of your brain substance what kind of a personality Lord Brahma is. He's created practically all the different phenomena within this universe. He lives 311 trillion years. He's a very, very big person. From him, the Vedas are coming. He's the father of everyone in this universe. He's even the father of Shiva, Indra. But this Brahma was utterly frightened to come before Lord Narasimhadev. And Lord Shiva, simply by his dancing, the whole universe is destroyed. But when he saw Lord Narahari, although there was great love in his heart, he could not approach that form. He was just too ferocious. The little Prahlad, 5-year-old child, he is praying in this verse, "My Lord, I am not at all afraid of what I see." The reason was, as Srila Prabhupada explains, Prahlad learned how to take shelter of the Lord. When we learn the process of taking shelter, there is no fear. We'll try to share with you an example, which I believe is very much freshly impressed within your heart. How many of you went to the Ugrastamba? Raise your arms and say Hari Bol. How did you enjoy that experience? It was certainly an adventure. I'd like to walk you through a meditation. Just think back. When you were about to approach that little walkway, maybe 3 feet wide, that was slanted to one side, the rock was so completely smooth that it looked like anything could slip off it at any second. And on either side of it was the darshan of practically the entire universal creation. It was top of a mountain, and looking down on both sides was such a fall you could hardly see the bottom. Did any of you notice that? Amongst mountain climbers, I've never been a mountain climber, but I've heard the theory of mountain climbing. By Krishna's grace, I forgot it until I came down off the mountain. The theory amongst professional mountain climbers is never, ever, ever look down. If you look down, you become disoriented, because this is too much. You're always supposed to just look at the next step going upward. Just looking right, like a horse with blinders. You just look where you're going. Now that little slanted rock, it's very smooth. If we didn't see either side, we probably would have just danced across it without any fear. But if you see both sides, namaste, namaste. However, when we were up there, we saw some little birds higher than us, just flying around. Completely fearless. Little birds were just flying around in the sky, and they were looking down, and it was farther than us. They were overhead. They didn't even have a ledge to stand on. The little insects were flying around fearlessly. How is it that these sophisticated, social, impressive people from Bombay, some specialist doctors, some attorneys, some with master's degrees, some very, very wealthy people, some famous brahmacharis, who are noted throughout the world as for renouncing everything of the world despite so many qualifications. How is it that they were thinking, oh my God? And the little birds, who don't know anything, they're just flying around completely fearlessly. Because they have taken shelter of the sky. They have learned the process of taking shelter of the sky. Therefore, they are fearless anywhere and everywhere within the sky. But because we are land creatures, we haven't learned to take shelter of the sky. So the sky is very fearful. Do you remember? 4 or 5 days back, when we were bathing in the ocean at Singhachalam, the beach of Vishakhapatnam, you remember those very powerful waves that were pushing us? And we look out and see the sea, vast, limitless, so deep, all kinds of man-eating fishes. We were right at the shore, and when those waves came, It was a little fearful, was it not? Even our best swimmer, I won't mention names, he swam out there and he said he almost drowned. Because those waves, they push you toward the shore about 3 feet, and then they pull you toward the center of the ocean about 8 feet. That's what happened when you got out there. You had to really swim for your life to not get just sucked into the middle of the ocean. So here we are, human being, supposedly the crest jewel of all creatures of the world. But how fearful is the ocean to us? But the little fish is fearlessly just going anywhere and everywhere in the ocean. Prabhupada is using an example. When the river is flooding, even the mightiest elephant gets washed away to its death. But little tiny fish is going upstream, downstream, across stream fearlessly. Because the fish has learned to take shelter of the ocean. The ocean and the sky are vast. They are big. Therefore, they are fearful. Prahlad Maharaj, he took shelter of Krishna. Krishna is the source of the sky, of the land, of the ocean, of all of existence. Therefore, if you take shelter of Krishna, you can be fearless in any situation in life. And this was proven. Where we were standing, some of us were thinking, maybe I will fall. Say Hari Bol if any of you thought like that. If you didn't think like that, that means you are completely dull as stone. Not only were we walking across this slippery, slanted rock that was only about 3 feet wide with big drops to the bottom of the earth on each side, but the wind was blowing hard. And the wind was blowing in the direction of the downside of the rock. Well, Prahlad was on a mountain much, much higher than that. And he was actually thrown off. He didn't have a 3-foot rock to stand on. He was actually thrown into the air. I think you can appreciate this story a little better today while your memory is fresh. What would it be like to be falling from where you were? Prahlad, it's a true story. A 5-year-old child, he was falling. But he was fearless. Because he was taking shelter of Krishna. He's the source of everything. And because he knew that Krishna, he is the friend of his devotee. He had this faith. Even while he was falling, he knew for sure Krishna's going to save me because I'm remembering him and I'm chanting his holy name. We had a rock to walk on. And how many of us were completely, fearlessly convinced that Krishna is going to protect me? Prahlad had no rock. He was falling full speed down that mountain. But he knew, if I take shelter of Krishna's name, he will protect me. He protects his devotees. Why should I fear? And if I die, if I remember him, what kind of protection? I'll go back to Godhead. It's very good. Krishna protected. And at Singhachalam, the same place we were bathing in the sea, at the shoreline, we were fearful. Prahlad was thrown right in the middle of the ocean with no life raft. There's no record that he even learned swimming at 5 years old. But he was fearless. Not because he was like a fish who took shelter of the ocean, but because he was like a fish that was swimming in the ocean of faith in Krishna. Therefore, he had no fear. Even at the bottom of the ocean, he had no fear. That is faith. And Krishna reciprocates with our faith. Prahlad Maharaj, because he took shelter of Lord Nrsimhadev, he saw every one of the Ugra Nrsimha features as something very sweet, fatherly, motherly, and beautiful, protective. When he saw those ferocious, sharp teeth, those burning, angry eyes, that gaping, cave-like mouth, blood all over his mane, which was scattering the clouds, when he heard that roar that caused elephants to run in fear and scream in pain, Prahlad Maharaj, his heart was discomforted. He was seeing his beloved. Just as we see Radha Gopinath playing on his flute. But do we really see Radha Gopinath playing on his flute? According to our faith, we see him. Prahlad Maharaj was seeing the sweet, beautiful form of the Lord in Nrsimhadev because he took shelter. Here in Ahobalam, we have all received the very blessed mercy of Lord Nrsimhadev. Of course, that mercy has come through his devotees. If not for Srila Prabhupada giving us Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, most all of us would have never come here. Srila Prabhupada, with the key of his mercy, unlocked the door and opened to the spiritual world. Not only to the holy Dhammas, but to enter into the real spirit and consciousness of the holy Dhamma. Recently, one devotee was telling me that he has been to practically all these places, Kurumakshetra, Singhachalam, Ahobalam. And it was a ritualistic and a little bit interesting visit. However, due to the teachings that Srila Prabhupada has given us in his books and the association of the devotees who are dedicated to trying to follow those principles, these holy dhams are revealing a transcendent insight that's so fulfilling and enriching to our spiritual lives. Many people go to Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri, even Mayapur. But when devotees are touched by the mercy of great acharyas, they reveal the real secrets of the Dham to our hearts. Veda Vyasa explains, one of the symptoms of Kali Yuga is to go to a holy place just to take your bath or see the temple, without hearing from the great Vaishnavas who reveal the treasure of what this visit is meant to do for you. It is meant to bring you closer to God, to deepen your faith, your commitment, and your surrender. It's a joyful process. Yesterday I saw one young devotee. I asked her, very young devotee, what was the part of the yatra that you liked best? And she said, going to Ugrastamba. I think we would all have to agree that it was without question the high point of the ashram. Very well. What I'm hoping that these yatras ultimately do for all of you is increase your gratitude, your chastity, your dedication to Srila Prabhupada, because it was through his mercy that he has given us all of these treasures. If not for his sacrifice to sleeplessly remain awake all night translating his books, if not for him enduring heart attacks, seasicknesses, and all kinds of tribulations to cross the Atlantic Ocean on that cargo ship, if not for him accepting so many abuses and literally disintegrating his health by his intensive schedule. Most all of his god brothers lived into their 90s or 100s. They're great souls. Most of them remain at their mutts, preaching the glories of the Lord. And we put our head on the feet of all of these wonderful, great Vaishnavas. But Srila Prabhupada, he didn't care anything for his preservation. He gave his life for you and me. And it was the gift of how he presented Krishna consciousness in such a perfectly unique way to attract the people of today's society that we have been transformed. When we come to these places of pilgrimage in the association of 520 devotees, it's really a joyful experience. Very purifying experience. It is my deepest prayer that of the many benefits that you gain from this, that the foremost be your deep appreciation and faithful commitment to Srila Prabhupada's mercy. There may be many great souls, but Srila Prabhupada has personally connected us to the spiritual world. And how? How do we express our gratitude? By receiving the gifts he's given us wholeheartedly. And helping to satisfy him. What satisfies Srila Prabhupada? When we chant the holy names as attentive as possible every single day, at least 16 rounds. He's not asking anything for himself. What satisfies him is when you do something that's good for yourself. So we'll do it to make him happy. Sometimes we think like this. Actually, it's hopeless. I'll never go back to Godhead. I'm just too much of a useless soul.
But just to make Srila Prabhupada happy, I'll chant my, I have to chant my 16 rounds.
To follow these four regulative principles, no illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating.
For our own sake, if Prabhupada sees that we're making spiritual advancement, he's satisfied.
He wants us to read his books. There may be so many other Vedic literatures. There are Puranas. There are various commentaries by so many great personalities. And we offer all respect to all authorized Vaishnava literatures. However, until we thoroughly study Srila Prabhupada's books for many years, why should we even think about looking into other literatures? Even if they're completely bona fide, authorized, and full of nectar, we'll offer all respect. But Srila Prabhupada, who is the person who has given us safety in this world of danger, he put so much of his life into writing those books for you. Some devotees read so many books, they don't even have time for Srila Prabhupada's books. Especially new people. I've seen in the Brahmachari ashram, if there's hundreds of Prabhupada's books everywhere, and if there's one magazine from some other organization laying in the ashram, everybody's reading it. My question is, has everyone read all Prabhupada's books carefully and understood them? If you haven't read and digested his purports, you will not be able to really understand anything else. One of my very dear godbrothers said something to me that was very touching to my heart. He's a very senior Vaishnava, Grihastha. He's working to maintain his family. He was very dear to Srila Prabhupada. At one time he was Prabhupada's personal servant. And he told me that there's one thing in his life that he religiously does every day without fail. He reads Srila Prabhupada's books at least 1 to 2 hours, minimum. He told me why. He said, Prabhupada worked so hard. He worked so hard to give me these books. Even if I'm a fallen soul, how can I face him at the moment of death and not be able to tell him that, Prabhupada, I have accepted that unbelievable sacrifice of an offering that you gave to me? If I just please him by accepting the sacrifice he has made by reading these books, he said, I believe that's what will please Krishna more than anything else. So it's not that we have to ban other books. This is an unfortunate thing. This book is banned and that book is banned. Why? Maybe out of necessity sometimes these things have to be done. But the real thing is in a very positive way. That Srila Prabhupada is spoon-feeding us Krishna consciousness. I know myself personally. I read through Srila Prabhupada's book several times through for 15 years before I touched another Vaishnava literature. Because I felt that without really trying to understand Prabhupada's purports, it'll be superficial to think I can understand any other literature.
And then whatever else I read of the authorized Vaishnava literatures, I can see it all through the eyes of Srila Prabhupada's teachings. Then we can see it as it is. At least we're trying. So this is a way of showing our appreciation for Srila Prabhupada. To really go deeply into his teachings, into his books, and not just shop around for the latest nectar. Because the real nectar is in pleasing the super soul within your heart. We can show our gratitude for Srila Prabhupada by remembering what he told us 1 year on Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's disappearance day in Los Angeles, California. Srila Prabhupada said, I am an old man. I may die at any time. Then he choked up and started crying, begging his followers, please help me to continue this great mission of my Guru Maharaj. There's nothing that Srila Prabhupada was more happy with that when he saw devotees cooperating together to help him in his mission to his Guru Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada said, you will show your love for me by how you cooperate with one another to help continue this great movement of my spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. If we remain very simple, having these basic principles as our path in life, not looking for alternatives, the more we look for alternatives, the more we lose connection to that mercy, and the more dissatisfying our Krishna consciousnesses. And then a chain reaction takes place. When we're dissatisfied, then we think we have to find another alternative to get some life back into my spirituality. And then another alternative, and another alternative. We go further and further and further away. But the real sweetness that the soul is searching birth after birth after birth for is the sweetness of Krishna's mercy. The process is simple. Just be happy with this causeless mercy. Be content associating with devotees. No politics. Talk about Krishna. Talk about service to Krishna. If something happens wrong, just, okay, this is what we have to do, forget it now. That's it. Don't ponder on problems, especially in regard to people's problems. Just understand from higher authorities what must be done, and that's it. Buff. And discuss how to serve, how to preach, how to improve the quality of our lives. Discuss Krishna's teachings, Krishna's pastimes. Now, some of you in the buses, this is an austerity. From Mangalagiri to Ahobalam, the buses, it took 12 hours. On these bumpy, primitive, unkept Andhra Pradesh India roads. These roads were
very bumpy roads.
Yet I asked one devotee,
I hope the bus ride was not too difficult.
And she said, no, it was wonderful. We were having quizzes. I really liked the quizzes.
Quizzes?
They were just discussing what was being said in different classes. For so many hours, the bus was just in great attention, discussing, hearing from each other their realizations and the remembrances of Krishna Katha. In this way, this bus, usually in these buses, people are just miserable, drunk, watching these commie sex movies, going down these bumpy roads. But this was like an airship going to Vaikuntha. Because they were together talking about Krishna. It's so simple, it's so wonderful. We're together. Let's learn how to take pleasure in talking about Krishna. But you know what Prajalpa does? When you start finding faults with devotees and talking political things, you lose your taste for hearing and talking about Krishna. Many of us have seen some people, they are so interested in talking about the faults of others, or talking about so many material situations in a very, very negative political way, that if you try to tell them something about Krishna, it's boring to them. It's not that they're taking pleasure talking about politics and gossip. It just somehow or other excites their minds. But Raghunath Das Goswami said that gossip is like the prostitute that steals away all one's propensities to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. It is a fact. If you travel around the world, you'll see it. And if somebody just likes to talk about Krishna, these people, what nonsense, just stop talking about Krishna. Come to reality.
As if the gossip of this world is reality. That's not what we read in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Krishna is the only reality.
And the only way out of illusion is to hear the glories of the Lord and to take pleasure in chanting His holy name.
Srila Prabhupada told us utility is the principle. That means we have to be practical. But what is utility? It means how to practically manage, organize a society, a family, a temple, in which everyone is focused on hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. But if the utilitarian principle diverts our attention away from that, then it is defeating the purpose it is meant to achieve. Somebody told me recently that they were thinking they shouldn't come to the yatra because of the sense gratification. And better they do their work and like that. But Srila Prabhupada explains that Krishna consciousness is spiritual sense gratification. If we're not experiencing spiritual sense gratification, we'll never be able to give up material sense gratification. these yatras are so very important in our lives. They bring us together. We get to know each other on the basis of chanting, dancing, hearing, taking prasad, and rendering service. It's a wonderful chance to serve devotees. And it gives us a joy. And it gives us faith. Ahobalam is that place which has been eternally blessed with the supreme mercy of Krishna in his benevolent form of Sri Narasimha Dev. Protection is a great necessity. Practically the whole world is utilizing so much of their time to somehow or other protect themselves or protect their loved ones or protect their nation. Think about it, please. The greatest expenditure in the entire planet Earth is in military and weaponry. Yeah, in America, in Russia, in most all of the European countries. Because they know that this world, it's not what we want it to be. All our neighboring countries, they can attack us, destroy us, exploit us at any moment. So we have to have big armies. We have to have equal or better than weapons. Pakistan and India just tested their nuclear bombs. They wanted to show each other. Just like, have you seen in Vrindavan when the dogs get angry with each other or the monkeys get angry with each other? They start showing each other their teeth. Especially dogs. They just make their mouth go way up, their gums go way, way up so you can see every particle of their teeth. And they flash those teeth and start barking. And then the other dog shows its teeth. So in the same way, human civilization is like dogs. This is my teeth. This is my teeth. And then we publish, we have this missile, I have that missile. Why? It's all for protection. Because there's fear. This world is a fearful place. You need protection. Is there any city in any country in the whole world that you have heard of that doesn't have a police department? A fire department? That's something that's common everywhere you go. Because people need to be protected. And why is everyone working all day long from 10 to 5? They're working for money. Because money will give them a house, it will give them food, it will give them protection. The whole world is desperate for protection. Why do we get married? In civilized society, marriage is meant for protection. If protection is not the basis of marriage, it simply becomes animalistic life and it ends up miserable divorce. We're supposed to protect each other, not enjoy each other. Protection is the basis of existence. However, despite all these incredible efforts for protection, human society is in chaos. Nobody's happy. Why? Because we do not know where real protection is. The ultimate fear is death. None of these arrangements that we have created will protect us from death. Prahlad Maharaj was peaceful. You can only be peaceful if you feel yourself completely protected. Prahlad Maharaj was at peace in any situation of life. Material arrangements people are trying to create just to be peaceful. Prahlad Maharaj had no material arrangements at his disposal. He was thrown into pits of serpents, thrown into the oceans, thrown into the sky, thrown into poison. He had nothing material to stand on. But he was peaceful. Because he was protected by Krishna. And that protection is available to everyone if we learn to take shelter of Krishna. And how to take shelter of Krishna? In this age of Kali, by taking shelter of his holy name. Coming to Ahobalam is to enrich our lives with this conviction. So many nice experiences. None of these places we could go if it rains. Just when the last group finished the last parikrama, it's torrents of rain. The Lord has so kindly just arranged everything so nice. So please, my dear Matajis and Prabhus, it is my very sincere appeal to each and every one of you. Reciprocate with the mercy that Srila Prabhupada has given us. Wholeheartedly accept the gift that he has given you. The association of his devotees, his books, the holy name, Krishna's prasad, and service to the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For if you do this, there's nothing in all of creation that will help you more to perfect your lives by receiving the causeless mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because by somehow or other just pleasing such a devotee as Srila Prabhupada, how much we will please the Lord. But that pleasing has to be with continuity. The real test of our dedication is whether we continue until the day we die. Some people can show tremendous dedication for a couple days, a couple months, or even some years. But then choose some other alternative. That means the dedication was not really very sincere. We should dedicate ourselves, whether we are brahmacharis, grihasthas, vanaprasthas, or sannyasis, as we learned in Kuramakshetra a few days ago from Lord Chaitanya's teachings to Kurama Brahman, our particular social status is not what's important. We should just continue on. What is important is that dedication to the spirit of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not cheap. Your hairs may not stand on end in ecstatic love when you chant for the next few years. We should be willing to remain faithful and dedicated throughout our lives. When we have that conviction, whatever happens, I will serve our Guru Parampara as long as there is breath in this body, as long as there's a beat in my heart, I am the property of Guru and Gauranga. Then Krishna will really take our devotional service seriously. This is the most auspicious and beneficial of all items that we can do in our life, is appreciate, be grateful, and be faithful to Srila Prabhupada's mercy. If somehow or other that becomes a stronger reality in our lives after this yatra, then the yatra was truly a grand success. Sri Narasimha Dev Bhagavan Ki. This is our last kirtan together in the holy room. Chant very loudly, please. And dance. Namaste, Narasimhaya.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.